गोप गवर सायं कुंड उदार कुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की जाय वृंदावनम की जाय मथुराम की जाय नवदीप धाम की जाय जगदीश स्वामी की जाय यमुनामाई की जाय श्रीमती तुलसी देवी की जाय समवेद भक्त वृंद की जाय गौर प्रेमानंद All glory is the symbol of devotees. All glory is the symbol of devotees. All glory is the symbol of devotees. All glory is to Sri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Gaurakrata. Om Magana Timurandasya Ananjana Shakya Chakshur Medikam Yena Tasmai Sri Guru Namaha. So I offer my respectful obeisances under the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So we're finishing up the Brahma Samhita today, and the reason we're talking about the Brahma Samhita is that the Brahma Samhita tells us everything about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the living entities, demigods, the material world, everything that's important. In other words, the purpose of everything. And the reason we're presenting it is that we want to show people where we get our knowledge from. This is very, very important. Like you'll find many people don't know, or most people, even religious people, don't know why they believe what they believe. And then they start to believe in all sorts of weird things. For example, I do a lot of preaching in Fiji. Anyone's heard of Fiji before? The Fiji Islands? And in the Fiji Islands, it's interesting, the people came from India, but then they adopted the native culture, which was more or less a primitive culture. And now, integrated into their Hindu practices, they have witch doctors. You know what a witch doctor is? Voodoo. Witch doctors. Just because they have not understood that you have to go back to the original source of knowledge to know what is the absolute truth. Therefore, the Vedic literatures tell us, dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. The Dharma only comes from who? God, Krishna, Bhagavan, Govinda, Gopal, Giri Govardhan. All right, here's a bunch of names. A lot of names. So, in other words, Dharma means the inherent quality of something, the purpose of something, the duty of everybody. And then we're talking about Sanatana Dharma. Not that my dharma is to be an engineer at IBM. Some people hear it. They say that, you know. What's your dharma? My dharma is to work for Burroughs Wellcome Company. No. That's temporary duty. But Sanatana means eternal duty. So Sanatana Dharma is taught from Krishna and passed down in disciplic succession. And of course, Krishna, his first disciple in his universe was Lord who? Lord Brahma. And Brahma spoke this Brahma Samhita. So he's a pretty good source, perfect source, because he's a pure disciple of Krishna. So far we've talked about the spiritual world, we've talked about who Krishna is, the holy names, and recently, the last week, we've been talking about the demigods. We went through a bunch of demigods. I hate to say a bunch. But there's several demigods. There's 33 million of them. We don't have time to go through all 33 million. We'd be here for 33 million days if we did that. And there's all sorts of demigods. There's demigods in charge of the rain. Who's that? Indra. Demigods in charge of the sun. Surya. And even some, there's some minor demigods. There's a story in the Mahabharata about one man, children like this story, one man wanted to find a demigod that nobody else worshipped. Because you're going to get more attention. You know, if you worship Lord Shiva or Durga, I mean, they have to put up with a whole bunch of people worshipping them. And they get a whole list. It was actually a movie one time, an American movie about one man who became God for some period of time. And he was completely overwhelmed with all the requests he was getting. So he decided, I don't want to be God anymore. So any of you who want to be God, there might be people. I mean, there are people who come from India who want to be God or say they're God or act like God and want people to worship them like God. Then you also have to put up with everybody's request. You have to become a servant, basically. It's not a good idea. I'd rather serve God than be God. It's too big a headache being God. Of course, Krishna doesn't get a headache because he is able to take care of everything with his energies. Prasya Shakya Rupadalva Shriyate Svabhavati Vyana. So now we're talking about the demigods, and we've gotten to Surya. And Surya, of course, is the sun god. And the sun god arranges for the sun to go about its orbit, of course. And we're going to chant this nice prayer to the sun god, of how Krishna is the sun god, together. Ready? Everybody ready?
Yachchashuresha savita sakala brahmanam raja samasta suramurti yasesha teja yasya gaya brahmati samrita kala chakra govinda hari purusham namaham vajami.
And so, of course, what happened here? It's not progressing. There we go. The sun, who is the king of all the planets, full of infinite effulgence, the image of the good soul, is as the eye of this world. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, in pursuance of whose order, the sun performs his journey, mounting the wheel of time. So sometimes the sun is considered to be the eye of Krishna. And the energy that we're experiencing today is all coming from sunshine. Ultimately, whether it's direct or indirect, even your coal, oil, everything is a byproduct of the sun, stored sunshine. So that's a representative of Krishna. And there is Suryadeva. And his charioteer is named who? Aruna. Aruna. And Aruna is pulling the chariot. And of course, the sun rises on a regular basis and sets, and it can be predicted. And so then, now we'll talk about the Navagraha, which is very interesting. This is known by people in astrology. So Krishna is the source of the Navagraha. And then we get to the Brahman effulgence of the Supreme Personality of God. Let's chant this prayer.
Yasya prabha prabhavato jayadanda koti koti shashesha vasudari vibhuti vrinam tadbrahma nishkalam anantam ashesha bhutam govindam adi purusham namaham bhajami.
I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, whose effulgence is the source of the non-differentiating Brahman mentioned in the Upanishads. Being differentiated from the infinity of glories of the mundane universe appears as the indivisible, infinite, limitless truth. Okay, we gotta explain that one. So, first of all, Krishna is surrounded by this effulgence, but his effulgence is not just some photons. Photons. And those of you who study, science know what photons are. They're the light beams. His effulgence is composed of the limitless jiva souls who decided to merge into his effulgence. Actually, they don't really merge into the effulgence. The example Srila Prabhupada gave is sometimes it appears that a green bird, like a parrot that you see in India, merges into a green tree because they're the same color. You know, it's like camouflage. You see the soldiers, they sometimes wear camouflage outfits, so they appear to merge into the foliage. So the souls who are being punished become Krishna's effulgence. Now that's interesting. Why is that punishment? Interesting, isn't it? Why? You know, you get liberated. That's liberation. You actually leave this material world and just float around there in the effulgence, you know, twinkle, twinkle, little Brahman, how I wonder what you are. Look at that. I used to say that when I was young. So, you float around in the effulgence. What is the problem? The problem is that you are inherently an active person, soul, who wants to have relationships, fun, but unfortunately, because you either committed offenses against God, attack God, or you become what we call a Mayavadi or an impersonalist, you go there. What's a Mayavadi or impersonalist? Oh, let's say a personalist first. Impersonalist says that ultimately everything is energy. Of course, everything in this material world is energy. I mean, study science. Everything is energy. It's God's energy. But apart from that energy, there's an inner, what? Energetic. Right? It's like Prabhupada many times would say, you have this electrical energy, but there's persons who design the electrical powerhouse, who have designed the flood there. And there's a person in charge of the electrical powerhouse. So there's persons behind everything. So Krishna emanates his energy. And when Krishna emanates things, or his energies come from him, Krishna does not get, what? Diminished by those things. If I give you some money, my bank account, because I don't have a bank account, but that is another silly matter. But if I say I had a bank account, and I gave you some money, see, I gave Adi Dave $100 or something like that for his wife. He's a nice wife. Then I would have $100 less, right? But Krishna is so amazing, Om Purnamadam, that even though so many complete energetic units emanate from him, what? He remains what? Does anyone know? The complete whole. None of us can do that. You know, we all have our little energies, but we don't remain the complete whole. We never were the complete whole. And we become diminished. So, the jiva soul, of course, is one of his energies. The material world is another energy of his. But he's the person behind the energies. So those people who want to merge into the energies, because they're so frustrated, it's understandable, we can be a little empathic. The material world is a pretty nasty place. Just like today we were hearing about devotees' mothers passing away. Well, guess what? The death rate is 100%. Always be 100%. And you know, if you think about it, you get really depressed. You know, you're getting old, you're getting sick, you're going to die. Oh my God, why am I doing anything? Let me just go to sleep. Take some antidepressant or something. And the material world, you know, if you look at it the way it is, it's kind of depressing. So many people just say, let me out of here. Let me become nothing. Let me merge into the absolute. And so that's one way that people get to go to the Brahmana cultures. Another way is they get to be a demon in Krishna's pastime and they fight with him. And they go to the Brahmana cultures. But the problem is, in addition to being frustrated up there because you don't have any activities or relationships, is a Ruya Katrina Param Padam Pata Patanjiyas Yujma Angreha, that ultimately you fall down because you're frustrated. If you tell a little kid, this is Prabhupada's example, sit in the corner and do nothing. How long can the kid do it? I mean, you parents, I'm sure you try it. You say, I want you to go to your room and just sit and do nothing. And after a while they're tearing apart the room. Right? They're making noise. What? I told you to sit still. But they can't do it. Because by nature, children are active. By nature, the soul is active. So that's the problem. But anyway, that's Krishna's effulgence. All these souls just floating around, ultimately falling down into the material world, opening up hospitals, falling further down into the modes of nature, and then going up again. So we don't want to become one of the souls in Krishna's effulgence, at least I don't. I want to become one of the souls in the spiritual world and get a chance to dance with Krishna, play with Krishna, serve Krishna eternally. So this is what is meant by the effulgence of Brahman. Like people talk about, Om Brahman's name. Isn't it? I am Brahman. You are Brahman, but you're a person Brahman. You're not impersonal Brahman. So that's the description here. Now we'll get to more personal stuff going. There's something called the Purusha avatars, and these personal avatars. So let's recite this particular verse. Diparjireva hi dasanarama vipetja Diparate vipetahetu samani dharma Yastadrigeva nishavishnu tayavibharti Govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. The light of one candle being communicated to other candles, although it burns separately in them, is the same in its quality. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda who exhibits himself equally in the same mobile manner in his various manifestations. This is a translation by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So, the avatar, let's talk about avatars in general. Avatar, of course, means descent. And incarnation, basically the same thing. Incarnate, come down to the earth. Take a form in the earth planet. So the avatars of Krishna are all the same as Krishna, but exhibiting less pastimes, less activities, less potency. They all have a specific mission. Let's take Lord Ram, for example. Lord Ram is not a Purusha avatar. But Lord Ram is an avatar of Krishna. So he exhibits certain pastimes as the ideal king, right? Ideal husband. Some of you ladies may argue about that. Why did you say this to me anyway? But you know, we can have an argument later on to discuss the whole thing. But you know, the ideal king, ideal religious personality. So there's a certain aspect of God's pastimes that are exhibited by each and every avatar, like Lord Ram. And of course you have Korma, Matsya, Vara, Singadev. But Krishna's too, Bhagavan Swayam, Krishna's the source of all the incarnations. But all those incarnations are not different gods. It said, Advaita Chuta Nadi Radhanta Rupa Madhyam Purana Purusham Dhamma Yoganacha. There's one God. And he can act simultaneously in infinite places, doing infinite things, different things. That's amazing. In infinite forms. Wow. Let's think about that. A yogi can act in how many places?
Nine
places and what? The problem is he's what? It's the same thing. It's like television images. So let's say a yogi marries nine wives. So he's saying to one wife, my dear, whatever his wife's name, Emily or something. And that gets reflected in the other forms of the yogi, and he's talking to Petunia, who's his other wife. She says, who is Emily? Anyway, so it can be very problematic for an ordinary yogi. There's this one yogi, Shabari Muni, who expanded himself, was it 50 times or something like that? So it can be really problematic, but Krishna married how many wives? 16,108. And each and every wife had her own house in Kerala. So, no, not really. It's Dwarka. Because we're talking about Kerala. So each and every wife had her own house. And in each and every house, something different was going on. Narayana, he went around to all these different houses, right? And he said, wow, one place Krishna's playing with his kids, another place Krishna's talking to his wife. Another place this, another place that, 16,100. And then people complain. They say, we have one couple, the wife complaining, why did Krishna marry 16,108 wives? I can only have one husband. You know, so he's God. We say, if someone becomes incredulous, you know, Krishna married 16,108 wives. We say, with only 16,108 wives, there's nothing for Krishna. For Krishna can be infinite place in everyone's heart, interacting separately with each and every one of us. giving us intelligence, remembrance, and forgetfulness individually. It's not that each and every one of the 16,108 wives had to wait in line associated with Krishna. They took a ticket, you know. So Krishna, not only in Dwarka, but all these various incarnations, they're the same person, and Krishna just acting in different ways, having a good time. Just like a little child, you can cut up two different dramatic performances. You know, dress up as a policeman or dress up as a tortoise. I never dress as a tortoise. But it's the same person. So Krishna's enjoying. These are called lila, or pastimes of the Lord. Whatever, one thing you should understand about Krishna's psychology is whatever he does is because he likes to do it. With us, whatever we do is because we're forced to do it. Right? You know, we don't, you know, we can choose a little things here and there, but basically we're forced to get old, we're forced to do so many things. But Krishna has his pastimes. And so some of the pastimes we're talking about here are the Purusha avatars. And that's what's mentioned here in this particular verse. Purusha avatars being basically the three, which are the Mahavishnu, the Garbhadaksha Vishnu, and the Shivadaksha Vishnu. Mahavishnu is the expansion of Krishna that manifests all the universes as he's sleeping. It's pretty good. He's sleeping, and out of the pores, when he exhales out of his mouth and pores, his body come all the universes in seed form, and they expand and to become the actual universes. We're within one of those universes. And in each and every universe, he again enters as the Garbhadaksha Vishnu. And then also he enters everyone's heart as the Shiradaksha Vishnu. So that's amazing. Krishna can do all these things simultaneously. So these are the Purusha avatars. But at the same time, Krishna is there in the spiritual world. As all these different avatars are doing everything, and they're all Krishna, non-different from Krishna, he's enjoying dancing with the gopis. Pretty interesting, isn't it? Pretty, pretty interesting God we got here. So there, I mean, who has such an interesting God? He's not just sitting on a throne, you know, just deciding everyone's fate. You're naughty. You're nice. You go to hell. You go to heaven. You go somewhere in between. You go back to North Carolina. You know, he's not, you know, he's not doing that. That's boring, you know. It's a boring job to be a judge. So God has people who act as judges. Who's the judge in this universe? The judge is Yahra. He's the one who says, heaven, hell, 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 hell. In Kali Yuga, it's just basically all hell. So that's the Purusha avatar, the Vishnu one. And so Krishna is the source of all these avatars. We'll actually chant this as mantra. Ramani Murtishu Kalani Amelina Krishna Nana Avatara Karo Kumaneshu Kintu Krishna Swayam Sambhara Paramankumanyo Govinda Mari Purushana. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord who manifested himself personally as Krishna, and the different avatars in this world, in the world, in the forms of Rama, Krishna, Vamana, etc., as his subjective portions. Now, sometimes there's argument like, is Vishnu the original, is Krishna the original? Well, the Vedic literature solved that particular dilemma. In every single case, they mention that Ake Changsa Kalaki himself, Krishna is two, one belongs to one another. And practically speaking, if you analyze the different incarnations and what they do, you'll see that Krishna manifests more qualities, more intimate relationships than any other expansion, avatar, or incarnation. He plays a flute. No other incarnation plays musical instruments. Not a guitar, not a flute. What else? Not a sitar. Krishna plays a flute. Now he plays other instruments too. And Krishna has intimate pastimes. He has most intimate relationships where devotees can even talk back to him. You don't want to try that with Lord Vishnu. what to speak of Lord Yasudeva. You know, are you going to walk up to Lord Yasudeva and say, hey, pal, how's it going? Get angry, you know. You won't do that. Even with Lord Yasudeva, when he appeared, Lakshmi was frightened, right? Lord Brahma was frightened. Lord Shiva was frightened. Oh, my God. And Pallada Maharaj was the only one able to pacify him. So you see that only Krishna in the original form, Govinda, Gopal, exhibits these intimate pastimes, plays the flute, has these loving devotees and relationships like that. So this proves, even logically, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that Krishna is the source of all the other incarnations. And here's the various incarnations. Of course, most of you are familiar with the Dasha avatars, only 9 of them depicted here, but there's 9 and Krishna. And they all come to Parikshanaya Sadhanam Vinashaya Chatushkutam. Now, they don't have to come to do that. Those activities, such as destroying the miscreants, establishing religious principles, can be done by Krishna's devotee. Just like when Srila Prabhupada came, Prabhupada actually acted in the same way as Parikshanaya Sadhanam Vinashaya Chatushkutam. He got rid of the miscreants. How did Prabhupada get rid of the miscreants? Does anyone know? He preached very strongly about personalism. Because we're not sectarian in the Christian consciousness, but we appreciate all religions as long as they accept God as a person. But when a so-called religion comes and says, God's not a person. When I was young, that's what happened to the religion I was brought up in. I was attending religious school on a Sunday, and the teacher said to me, class, I came to a realization there's no God. And this is in religious school. There's no God. When you're dead, you're dead. And I said to the teacher, isn't this supposed to be a religious school? And he said, you're out. So we're personalists. We believe that God is a person, and what we want to attack is this impersonalism and voidism. In Srila Prabhupada's Pranam Mantra, we find these two terms used. Nirvishesha Shunyavada. Impersonalism and voidism, because these are the enemies of religion. There's no God. Like Prabhupada spent a lot of time preaching and employing devotees to preach against atheistic science. Not against all science. Prabhupada appreciated science. He used technology in Krishna's service. But he preached against this atheistic science that said that life comes from matter. You know, so Prabhupada would challenge the scientists. He was very much appreciative of what his disciples did that. Alright, if you believe life comes from matter, just mix. Here you've got the ingredients, mix them all together, and come up with a bug. But nobody's done that yet. They said it happened by accident, but even when they do it on purpose, they can't do it. Isn't it? Amazing thing, they said, well, it just happened, there was a reducing atmosphere, and there was a spark. It's alright. You have sparks, you have reducing atmospheres, you have all the chemicals, and mix them together, put them together, come up with a cell. No. Do. So Prabhupada was very interested in challenge. That's that personalism, voidism again, you know, atheism. Other than that, we appreciate every religion where they accept that God is a person. They may not have as much information about what God does. We have so much nice information, so many nice avatars, such interesting thing. We have, there's so many videos, movies that have been put out about Krishna's incarnations, like the Vishnu Purana, the Ramayana series. So many nice movies because we have so much information. We're very fortunate. So there's the Dasha avatars. So here's Krishna. So this is a little bit of analysis of the avatars. You have the Purusha avatars, and for the Purusha avatars, expand. You have Lord Shiva, who is Krishna's glance. Durga was the material energy, Brahma. And then again, you have Ganesh and Surya, other demigods. So you have Swamsa avatars and the Brahman. All these things come from Krishna. Aham, Sarvasya, Prabhu, Mata, Sarva, Pravartite. Right? That's one of the nutshell verses in the Bhagavad Gita. 10 minutes. So, and if you want to attain Krishna, there's only one way. What's the way? Devotion. Bhakti Mama Vijanati. So we're going to hear about this devotion now. So let's chant this together. Premanjana Charita Bhakti Parlochanena Santa Sradaiva Hridayeshu Vilokayanti Jam Shama Sundara Nachinja Guna Swarupam Govinda Mari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord. He is the first Lord. He is Shama Sundara, Krishna himself, with the inconceivable, innumerable attributes, whom the pure devotees see in their heart of hearts with the eye of devotion tinged with the salve of love. So Srila Prabhupada commented that when a devotee has purity in his heart, in other words, his spiritual vision, not the material eyes, then even Krishna comes up and shakes your hand. That's what he did with Lord Brahma, incidentally. When Lord Brahma realized Krishna, Krishna actually shook his hand and said, "Hi, I'm Krishna." So shaking hands is not something that's passe or not allowed. It's not that Krishna went high five or fist bumps to Lord Brahma. But so anyway, so if one has purity, not only that, you can get a spiritual television when you become a pure devotee. Prabhupada said, if pure devotees have a television, they can tune in to any Krishna's pastimes they want. You don't have to watch Star TV anymore. You can just say, I want to watch Lord Ram tonight. I want to watch Lord Vishnu tonight. And so that's what happens when you become pure. You directly see Prachaksha, Bhagavan Dharmyam Sushukam Kartam Aviyam. And then Krishna is the source of all bliss. If you want to become happy, then you worship Krishna. Let's recite this one. Yam krodha kama sahaja pranayati niti vasaya moha guru gaurava sevya bhavai sanchinja dasya sarushim nanamapurete govinda mari purusham. So, let's see what happened here. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, the meditators of whom, by meditating upon him under the sway of wrath, that's interesting, amorous passion, natural friendly love, fear, parental affection, delusion, reverence, and willing service, attaining to bodily forms befitting the nature of their contemplation. So, you have a lot of different ways you can meditate on Krishna. And what's mentioned here are not only the five direct rasas that one can have with Krishna, you know, the Shantaras, Dasharas, Satyaras, Vatsalyaras, Maturiyaras. Those of you who don't know what that means, it means peaceful, servitude, friendship, parental, and finally conjugal. But you have all these different emotions that you're experiencing here in this world that can be experienced in relationship with Krishna. There are seven different categories of emotions: anger, humor, astonishment, chivalry, even ghastliness, wow, and compassion. And these all, so in other words, becoming a devotee of Krishna doesn't mean you give up anything. You can enjoy more, have more exchanges, more emotions. You ladies will like this. You can have more emotions, more tears, more anger, all in relationship with Krishna. Isn't that nice? Yeah, you don't have to become like a stone. When you get impersonalism and voidism means you actually try to make the mind void. We were talking about that the other day in class, how before I joined the movement, I was studying impersonalism and voidism, and they said, make your mind empty. And okay, I try to make my mind empty. And then when I made my mind empty, I was so happy. You hear the contradiction? No, you don't have to see the contradiction. I was so happy that I made my mind. If I was happy, I was. My mind wasn't empty. The mind can't be empty. Of course, some people have no brain, but anyway. I was just hearing a story, actually, probably a story for all of you. So, once upon a time, Tamal Krishnamurti was taking care of Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada had this whole system of keys. One key would unlock something else, would unlock something else, would unlock something else. And finally, you get the Prabhupada's money, or whatever Prabhupada considers valuable. So Tamal Krishnamurti lost the kid. And Prabhupada basically said, you have no brain. And then he said, call for the GBC. So Prabhupada wanted the whole GBC meeting based upon Tamal Krishnamurti losing that kid. Because Prabhupada was teaching us to be very attentive, of course. So impersonalism, you can't have an empty mind. It's impossible. And so another way I've tried to be impersonal is I meditated on a candle. And then also I tried the sound of one hand clapping. That has worked pretty well. And so none of these things work. So we have an easy method. You focus your emotions on Krishna. Very easy. Very easy. I mean, you can have a sport just like you may like soccer. You can play soccer with Krishna. Okay. So this is what's mentioned here. And there, of course, is Gopa Kumar embracing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, enjoying the relationship of friendship. And his mother Yashoda enjoying the relationship of wealth. Parental relationship, but she's angry. So here's an example of using wrath. You don't get angry at Krishna because he's not giving you enough. That's not the proper anger. But you can chase after Krishna. And Krishna likes that more than all the Brahmins reciting their prayers. You have millions of prayers. Krishna likes it more when someone loves him so much they're trying to protect him, running after him. You say, don't try that until you're on that platform. There was one devotee, his name is Raghunandana, and he didn't know how to do deity worship. So his father told him to offer food to the deity, offer bhoga to the deity. He didn't know the process, and he didn't see Krishna eat, so he took a stick out and threatened Krishna. And Krishna ate, but he was a pure devotee. If you do that, you'll get the stick from Krishna. And of course, then finally, we have the conjugal relationship with the gopis. And they're the topmost devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna resides in Goloka Vrindavan, playing a flute. And just a few more slides and then we're finished. So I wanted to finish this tonight. So just two or three more verses. The highest love that the gopis exhibit is called Madhurya Rasa, which is sweet taste. Rasa means taste. There's a different taste from everything. People like sweet taste, people like bitter taste, people like salty taste. So there's a taste of relationship, and that's what rasa means. So let's chant this together. Ananda chinmaya rasa pratipadita vis radirya eva nijaru pataya kalabhi goloka eva nivasam chatulatma muto govinda mani purusham namaham rajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, residing in his own realm, Goloka, with Radha, resembling his own spiritual figure, the embodiment of the ecstatic potency, possessed of the 64 artistic activities, in the company of her confidants, Sakis, embodiments of the extensions of her bodily form, permeated and vitalized by his ever-blissful spiritual realm. So, just briefly, Srimati Radharani is the Adi Shakti, the original potency of the Lord, the Lagini Shakti, the pleasure potency of the Lord, and her whole business is to please Krishna. And because she pleases Krishna and is completely absorbed in that, she's able to control Krishna. That's one of the qualities of Srimati Radharani. So this is the pinnacle of Krishna consciousness. And so Radha and Krishna, they exhibit their pastimes only in Vrindavan. Of course, in Jagannath Puri, you have the gopis. We're going to have a Rathiyatra, of course, which is very ecstatic. The gopis attempted to bring Krishna back to Vrindavan, but the most intimate pastimes are only exhibited in Vrindavan. And we can achieve this perfection of life, understanding the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna and the pastimes of Vrindavan, through performing a devotional service, Bhakti Yoga, and of course, here's an interesting verse. It's also from the Brahma Samhita. It sounds a lot like the verse from the Bhagavad Gita, doesn't it? But it means the same thing. Let's chant this. It's not the same melody, so maybe I'll just chant it. Dharmam nanyan parichaja mamekam bhaja vishvasan Yadrishi Yadrishi Shraddha Siddhir Bhavati Tadrishi. Abandoning all meritorious performances, serve me with faith. The realization that one will get will correspond to the nature of one's faith. In other words, how much faith you have, and then what particular aspect of the Lord's pastimes that you are concentrating on. And so, and here's the last verse. I have bestowed my powers on you now that you possess the necessary powers. This is, of course, speaking to Lord Brahma. For creation, O Brahma, now create the bodies for the living entities in this universe. And the purpose of this whole universe is to achieve Krishna's pastimes in the spiritual world. So here's through sound, just like it says in the Bible. In the beginning was the word. The Prabhupada said that was a sound vibration. Then there's realization. And of course we have the sound Om, which is the same as the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Because the word Om means Radha Krishna and living entities. And the Hare Krishna Mantra is, my dear energy of the Lord, my dear Srimati Radharani, please engage me in Krishna's service. So Lord Brahma chanted his mantra, and he got his realization, and he was able to engage in his service. So for us, what that means is service. We chant the Hare Krishna mantra, and then we engage in practical service. We don't simply sit down. Lord Brahma didn't simply sit down and say, wow, I'm enjoying life so much chanting Hare Krishna. Forget about my work for you, Krishna. He would have gotten fired. As one famous politician now says, you're fired. He's running for president, unfortunately. So chanting is asking for service. Hare Krishna means please engage me in service. So Krishna comes along and says, here, do this service. You say, no, I like to chant. So we chant and do service. Both things have to go on. And then we can go back to home. So thank you very much. And next week we'll be talking about Lord Balaram, the individual spiritual master. All glory is to his divine grace. Shiva Prabhupada, Shiva Prabhupada, Ki Jai.
Very well. What? Oh yeah, I'm going to share something about Prabhupada.
My sponsor just reminded me. Yeah, there's just one nice video. It's just going to take 7 minutes to show you about Prabhupada. It's called Founder Acharya. Whoops. Read the text. Should I read the text? Because everybody can read it.